How far would you go to get something you really wanted? Would you get up at 4 a.m. to appear on the College Game Day show like thousands of did in Athens a few weeks ago? Would you get up at 2 a.m. to buy a camera at an amazing price like my dad did one Christmas season many, many years ago? Would you agree to do a chore you hate? Would you spend too much money? Would you do something embarrassing? I'm an avid watcher of reruns of The Big Bang Theory, and in one memorable episode, physicist Sheldon Cooper wore a French maid's uniform in the cafeteria of his university in an attempt to get his friend Howard to share Sheldon's scientific paper with well-known physicist Stephen Hawking. Spoiler alert, Hawking received the paper, read it, and loved it. Would you embarrass yourself in front of your whole community just for the chance to see a man you had heard was an amazing teacher and preacher, the way Zacchaeus did? The story of Zacchaeus is one that most of us remember from Vacation Bible School. He was a short tax collector who climbed up a tree to see Jesus passing by. Jesus looked up, saw him in the tree, and told him to come down and host Jesus and his friends at his home. There's even a song we used to sing. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Kim is going to help us sing that song now.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he.
Wait, I don't see people doing the motions. I'm playing the piano so I can't. Let's try again.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree.
And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today.
Thank you, everybody. But as we see so often in Scripture, there's more to this story. Imagine for a minute how challenging life would have been if you were Zacchaeus. To begin with, he was short, very, very short. Some biblical scholars think Zacchaeus may have been less than 5 feet tall. And while height is not everything, being short can be inconvenient, as some of us know. Who else besides me has had to ask someone you don't know to get something off of a grocery store shelf or risk trying to climb up on that shelf and hoping it doesn't fall under you? I'm sure others have experienced that too. And in ancient Israel, being short was a real liability. Short people were believed to be short on courage, short on character, and short on spirit, and were much less likely to be taken seriously. So Zacchaeus was marginalized by his community simply because of his stature. But his height was actually the least of Zacchaeus's problems. His bigger challenge came from his profession as a tax collector. You may remember from a couple of weeks ago that tax collectors were among the most despised members of ancient Jewish society because they were greedy and dishonest and because they collaborated with the Roman occupiers. But Zacchaeus was more than just an ordinary, everyday tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. That meant he was an agent of the Roman government, a leader in the corrupt system of taxing people in the occupied territories, including Judea. The Roman government assigned a certain amount of tax for each district and contracted with chief tax collectors to receive payment. The chief tax collectors actually paid the Roman government in advance for the taxes that were owed, and then farmed out the actual work of collecting from the citizens to the individual tax collectors. So Zacchaeus and the other chief tax collectors could have become wealthy without cheating, but the system was very easy to abuse by charging people more than they owed and pocketing the difference. So tax collectors were considered ritually unclean under Jewish law because they associated with Gentiles and went into their homes, which violated the cleanliness laws so important to Jews. Faithful Jews would have gone to extra trouble to avoid associating with tax collectors like Zacchaeus, and certainly would never have visited his home. So Zacchaeus would have had a good reasons to keep to himself the day that Jesus and his friends passed through. After all, it was an ordinary day in Jericho, a border city and customs station that saw many, many travelers and traders pass through. The people of the community didn't like him anyway, but he had heard the buzz about this rabbi, this Jesus, who was traveling through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover with his friends. This rabbi had been drawing crowds everywhere he went in Judea, and many people were sharing amazing tales about being healed by him. And so Zacchaeus set out to catch a glimpse of this Jesus. But there was a problem. Word of Jesus had preceded him, and quite a crowd had already gathered along the road to see him pass by. Zacchaeus, being short, had no chance of seeing over them, and nobody liked him well enough to move over and let him come forward so he could see. Many people might have given up at this point, but not Zacchaeus. He was determined to see Jesus. So determined, in fact, that he was willing to humiliate himself in front of his neighbors. He broke into a run, even though running was something shameful and embarrassing for an adult, something only children did. And he ran ahead of the crowd until he spied a sycamore tree near the road. Sycamore trees in ancient Israel were sturdy, low-spreading trees with branches that were easy to reach and climb, even for someone as short as Zacchaeus. And so he climbed up, not caring that he was yet again embarrassing himself in front of the people of Jericho, because a man of his wealth and responsibility would never stoop to climb a tree. In his persistent drive to see Jesus, Zacchaeus set aside any concern for his public image and did what he needed to do. And then as he was passing under the tree, Jesus looked up and noticed the chief tax collector clinging with all his might to a branch above the road. At this point, the story took a shocking turn. Jesus called Zacchaeus by name, even though he'd never met him before, and invited himself and his friends to stay at Zacchaeus' house that very day. If you had been there in the crowd that day, you would have heard the gasps of shock. This was simply not done. People in ancient Israel did not invite themselves over to another's house, and a prominent rabbi would normally never consider entering the ritually unclean house of a tax collector. And yet Jesus broke all the rules and social protocols and honored Zacchaeus with his presence. How would you feel today if someone you'd never met before suddenly called you by name and declared that they were coming over to stay at your house right now? I know I'd be overwhelmed. Knowing my house isn't all that clean, I don't want them to have to sleep on an air mattress, I don't have anything in the freezer to serve to someone so important, and how am I possibly going to be ready when they get to my house? I'm wondering if anybody else might feel the same way. But not Zacchaeus. He scrambled down from the sycamore tree, full of joy, and happily welcomed Jesus into his home, inadequate as it may have been. And in this moment of Jesus asking for hospitality and Zacchaeus joyfully offering it, Zacchaeus received salvation. Jesus brought him into the community of God's people and declared that Zacchaeus was a son of Abraham. The fact that Zacchaeus received Jesus with joy is deeply significant. Throughout Luke's gospel, joy was not just a passing emotion, but a defining theme woven throughout the narrative. From the opening chapters to the closing scenes, Luke portrayed joy as the natural and appropriate response to God's redemptive work in the world. When Zechariah's elderly wife Elizabeth gave birth to their son John, the one who would prepare the way for Jesus, Zechariah responded with joy. When an angel visited the teenager Mary to tell her she would give birth to the Messiah, she rejoiced. When the angels appeared to the shepherds in the sky to announce the Savior's birth, they brought good news of great joy. And when Jesus invited himself to the home of the despised tax collector Zacchaeus, that same joy overflowed. The author of Luke's gospel reminded his readers, including us, that joy is a profound response to encountering Jesus the Messiah. It is the joy of salvation, the joy of God's presence, and the joy of being found and welcomed by Jesus. Where do we experience that same joy in our relationship with God today? Sometimes we find it in quiet moments of worship when we sense God near to us. Sometimes we find it when we are connecting with someone else through conversation, a hug, or simply a smile. We may glimpse it in a baby's laugh or a child's giggle when we read their favorite story for the 1,000th time. And sometimes joy comes when we are surrounded by the breathtaking beauty of God's world. Earlier this week, I stopped short to gaze at a ginkgo tree on the UGA campus. I have always loved ginkgo trees, ever since my sister and I used to climb the ginkgo in our grandmother's yard. And I've learned in the years since that ginkgos have some special significance. Ginkgo leaves have been used in art and literature to symbolize longevity, resilience, and hope, especially after ginkgo trees survived the atomic bombing at Hiroshima and grew new leaves the following spring. As I gazed at this ginkgo tree this week, covered with leaves that had just turned a brilliant yellow, I was filled for a moment with joy and connection to the world God created. I'm waiting for that ginkgo tree to drop its leaves so I can collect one as a reminder of that small moment of joy. Experiencing joy is an important and powerful response to God's love, but we're also called to respond in more concrete ways. This is another place we can learn from Zacchaeus. This tax collector, this dishonest and despised man, responded to being recognized and called by Jesus with a pair of powerful promises. One, to sell half of his possessions and give the money to the poor, and two, to repay anyone he had defrauded 4 times what he had taken from them. He offered this restitution to make up for his sins, not as a way to earn God's grace, but as a joyful response to the grace he had already received from Jesus. Minister David Jordan describes Zacchaeus' promise as, quote, "more than an act of penitential devotion. It is an outlandish, radical act of unencumbered joy. Salvation changes the life and environment of individuals, our households, and all with whom we interact." End quote. This kind of joyful transformation is not unique to Zacchaeus' story. It is a universal theme that appears in other tales, both sacred and secular. Consider Ebenezer Scrooge in the Charles Dickens novella A Christmas Carol. Scrooge was an elderly miser who hated Christmas and refused to help others. He turned away men who were asking for money to provide food and heating for the poor, and only reluctantly allowed his overworked clerk Christmas Day off to spend with his family. But after a series of visits from the ghost of his former business partner, concluding with a vision of his own funeral where nobody grieved his death, Scrooge awoke on Christmas morning a changed man. He gave money to the charity he had rejected before, sent a huge turkey to feed his clerk's family, and gave his clerk a significant pay raise. From that time on, he treated people with kindness and generosity. Like Zacchaeus, Ebenezer Scrooge experienced a once-in-a-lifetime event, and his response changed his whole approach to life. From an irritable loner to a generous man seeking to make the world better for other people. In the end, the story of the salvation of Zacchaeus and his joyful and grateful response is a story of grace, the movement and action of God through Jesus the Messiah, who embraced Zacchaeus instead of judging him. In a world where bad news seems overflowing sometimes, this story is a powerful antidote to pessimism. The encounter Zacchaeus had with Jesus changed his life completely, from dishonest thief to generous giver, and from social outcast to member of God's beloved community. And that same grace of God is at work in the world today. Whenever even one person receives affirmation or clings to hope that things can be different or resolves to live by a new set of values, the kingdom of God is at work. And whenever we share the compassion of Jesus the Messiah with others through what we say and do, we are contributing to the building of God's kingdom here on earth. God is still at work in our lives and our world, revealing new truths and building new communities. And we, like Zacchaeus, are called to receive God's grace and respond with great joy and generosity to others. Amen.